Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
And I'm Helen.
We get a lot of messages about relationships, both romantic and platonic. But when it comes to conversations around relationships, romantic ones seem to get most of the attention during our 20s and 30s. But friendships are just as, if not more important than romantic relationships during these very critical points in our lives. What does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean to be a best friend? Let's discuss this.
I can list so many qualities. And I did. let me just name a few. It's just hard to choose one. I feel like, you know, you need a combination of qualities, you know, to really be a good friend. The first thing that came to mind instantly was, I love when my friends are empathetic. I think having empathy is a sign of high EQ, which is something I really admire and try to strive for. Another thing that I've been thinking a lot about is, I love the quality of being respectful. Because one thing I'm noticing into adulthood is that I feel like that the lines can be blurred. Like, knowing the line between comfort and respect is something I feel like I see a lot of... Some of my friends kind of, like, hover around. Even sometimes I might hover around because you don't know. Like, you always hear the excuse, like, oh, I just said that because I'm so comfortable around you. Mm. And then part of you is like, why do I feel kind of like, eh.
Like, disrespected.
So, yeah. And then also, I also thought about this because I was watching Love Island last night. And... granted, Love Island is a romantic show, but there was a moment when one of the guys, they're a pair. One of the guys made this joke and, like, kind of patronized his girlfriend, like, patted her on the head. And, like, you could tell he was doing it because he was comfortable and just wanted to make a joke, but she felt so disrespected. So I think respect is something that can actually be blurred. So I love someone who's respectful. And I'm going to say 2 more things. The next one is, I love loyalty. You know, someone who will be there for you no matter what. Like a golden retriever. And the last thing, I didn't really know what word to describe this. Maybe you two might have a better word for it. But like someone, a friend that takes initiative to help and make you feel loved. So I don't know what quality encompasses that.
Compassion, maybe.
And compassion. Yeah. But it's just like that active, like the action of it, you know?
Actively thinking about you often. Someone who's obsessed with you. Just kidding, I don't know.
Yeah, something, yeah, along those lines. But those are some of the qualities I kind of thought about while thinking about, like, you know, a really good friend. But Helen, I'm curious, what are your qualities that you look for in a friend?
Yeah, it's funny you said, I agree, like, respect for sure. But I have 3, maybe 4. But my first one I said was comfort. Mm. I think you have to feel comfortable around your group of friends. And I say this because I've had friend groups where I always kind of felt on edge, whether it's because, like, I never fully felt like I fit in, or I felt like I couldn't let loose and be super weird or silly, or there was, like, some level of toxicity, maybe, like, cattiness or something in a group that just made me feel kind of icky. And I know that sounds terrible, but I think at a younger age, you don't have the luxury to really pick and choose your friends sometimes. So comfort and the ability to sit in a room for hours and just have fun with them, talking about like anything and everything, that is a big test for me for who's like a real friend and who's not. So for me, I would say for sure comfort and definitely like that level of respect too. Two, I would say someone that you can trust. Mm. That is a big one for me, like huge. Someone who you can share your secrets with and you trust them and that they wouldn't share your secret with like any soul on the planet, not even their significant other. I think I'm the type of person that keeps a very small group of friends rather than have a lot of friends. Because in my opinion, like real trust is hard to find. And I am not the type of person to share my emotions very easily. So I would say that I don't have a bunch of friends that I can call up for deeply emotional things. So trust is definitely one that I think also touches upon loyalty, and also a friend that's kind of more non-judgmental and will listen to you when you do open up to them about difficult things that you maybe feel shame about. So yes, for sure, trust. And thirdly, communication and honesty. I think friendships are like relationships, and relationships are hard. And if a friendship is only focused on the good and there's no communication and honesty when things get kind of sour, then that is, in my opinion, a doomed friendship waiting to happen. Because that becomes kind of like a surface level friend and someone whom you'll never really want to go into like a deeper level with out of fear that something really bad is going to happen, because you're always like tiptoeing around these sensitive topics. So definitely communication, honesty. And then fourth, last thing, I would say compassion. All of my close friends that I have a level of compassion that I think is so precious to me, because I feel like it's a little bit more rare of a quality to have these days. So I see it as a gift when I get that from a friend, and it's something I really have come to appreciate. So for me, comfort, trust, communication and honesty, and compassion.
I want to make a comment because I know Helen mentioned trust. And I will say, though, one quality I see Helen exemplified that I actually don't see in a lot of my friends who are in a relationship is that I actually can tell Helen something knowing that she won't tell Phil. And that's something I learned later in our friendship. And I was like, wow, you didn't tell him? And you're like, why? Why would I tell him? Like, it's our thing. And the reason why I want to acknowledge that is because I have other friends who assume that whenever I tell them something, they're going to tell their significant other. They're like, oh, I only just tell them. And I'm just like, well, oh, like, it just feels like that's an assumed thing,
right?
You know, so I do respect that you're able to keep like a secret or something private between, you know, one person like me or you. Want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, no, I feel like I think I like to dish out what I want to receive, and so like for me, like I said earlier, I don't trust a lot of people. I don't trust easily. And so that's what I kind of expect from my friends too. Like, I will give you my top notch level of trust, because that's also what I expect from a real friendship. And then sometimes Philip's like, I can tell something is, tell me what's going on. I'm like, no, if you want to like ask them yourself, like, shush, let's talk about something else. Let's turn on like a TV show or something.
I also like that you pointed out that the ability to confront and communicate with them, right? So when we're talking about like, you know, most important qualities, we're listing all these positive ones, but, you know, the ability to communicate means being able to confront some of the not so positive situations, right? Which I think is really critical. And I also like how Mel touched upon the aspect of respect, because that's one that I didn't really think about with friends. I feel like you just assume that that's a thing, but you're very right that I think that as you get older, the level of respect that you might expect as an adult might change, right? And that and that might be telling of your friendships.
Janet's a rapper now. Yeah.
Respect and respect. Yeah.
What do you think, Janet? What are the most important qualities to look for in a friend and why?
Ooh, I also had like a list about five-ish. And so as you ladies were reading through yours, a lot of them that are similar. But the top of my list is support. And I think I'm not exactly sure why, but when I think about friendship, the first thing that comes to my mind is supporting, you know, being supported and supporting others. And the second thing, or very closely with that, is a sense of empathy. I think that I know it's kind of strange, like in the last year or so, a lot of people have been feeling a lot of things, but in the absence of kind of lots of maybe emotional situations, I don't know that it is very common that people can empathize with different situations, right? I think that, yes, that is a quality of a person, but different people can empathize with different people because they usually will share an experience. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's you know, something that ties two people together is if you're really truly able to empathize with them because you probably went through something similar or you have something from your own life that you can connect on a level with. The third thing I think is having your best interest in mind. And this is something that I think maybe sounds like it should be obvious as well, but especially in our 20s and 30s, which are periods where people are so focused on self-development and figuring out their place in the world, it can be too easy to get competitive or to get wrapped up in your own situation where the people closest to you might be in conflict, right? So you might have a lot of close friends, but it can be challenging when you're like, are they doing this because they have my best interest in mind, or is it their best interest in mind, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. And oftentimes it can be like really maybe not even obvious. Like maybe someone is doing that without even knowing that they're like kind of sabotaging you a little bit or something. So having your best interest in mind. Fourth is you can trust them. I think that's like to Helen's point, trust is a very valuable thing. I kind of like the opposite. I feel like I trust too easily.
I'm there too.
Yeah. I kind of like I will give someone my trust, and then only when they kind of prove me wrong, then I kind of like retract a little. I'm still very reserved. Like I won't open up to a lot of people, but I will always assume kind of the best of people and just like, yeah, I'm gonna trust you until you prove me wrong. Mm. But the level of true trust, I think that's like critical for being able to have a close relationship with someone. And then the fifth one that I have is actually one that I kind of struggle with. I think that an important quality of a friend is not only that you can share with them, but that they'll share with you and they'll be vulnerable with you. I have a hard time, like I said, because I'm more reserved, opening up to people and just like sharing all of my stuff and being vulnerable. But that is like it's essential to be able to like deeply connect with someone, right? So I take that as a sign. If someone's able to open up to me, I think that usually deepens our relationship to a greater level.
These are great answers. I feel like we made like a best friend soup or something. Yeah. I don't know. maybe I'm just thinking that because I know Helen made soup earlier. But when you're listing everything out, and my mind's thinking like, it's actually really hard to be a really good friend. It is. Right? There's so many qualities you need to hit. But at the same time, it's also maybe easy to some. I don't know. But just something I'm thinking about. And Helen, you mentioned earlier that you try to dish out what you also want, right? Mm. So with that in mind, what do you think is your best quality as a friend? And can you share a time when you provided this quality?
Oof. Yeah. So weird to kind of like talk about myself. Like you tell me what are good qualities I have as a friend. I mean, I think the qualities of like comfort and fun and like an easiness to be around me, I feel like this is what I hear from other people. So people say it's very easy to be around me. And like I mentioned, that level of trust is something that I want to give to other people because yeah, like I think like Janet too, I'm a little bit more reserved when it comes to sharing feelings and being vulnerable. So I definitely think that I want to give my trust to other people as I want to receive it as well. People have told me I am a good listener and that I think when I listen, I don't try to give advice right away. And maybe that's why people like or people tell me that I'm a good listener because I listen and really try and empathize with whatever it is that they're going through. And also, I think when it comes to my close group of friends, like the really, really good group of friends that I have, I will make that extra effort to make them feel special on like specific days.
I agree with that.
I can attest to like the things that you're listing. I have noticed that you listen very well. And I notice that because that's usually a comment that I get as well from people. But you don't like you're not kind of quick to respond. You're kind of just take it in. And I think that is I've noticed that as well. And the planning and the little gifts. Yes. Which is strange because I feel like in my as I've gotten older, people just don't have time for things, right? So oftentimes the way you celebrate together or the way that it's like you treat a friend to a meal or you just get together mutually. So it's like, I'm like, oh, I've gotten little gifts and things from Helen. I'm like, this is nice. I haven't had this since like, you know, I was younger. And it's a nice, yeah, it's a very unique quality.
I think I'm not a very mushy type person. I don't express my feelings that much. But when it comes to, like, writing a card or writing, you know, putting thought into writing something for someone, like a Christmas card or whatever it is, like, that's where I will show you my love. Aww. Yeah.
Yeah, Helen, I remember when, for Christmas, she gave us a really good gift. She gave us a poetry book from Rupi Kaur. And I was like, oh my God, this is so thoughtful. And she does it. She was like, you better read the card. And I was like, all right. And I was like, all right, always read Helen's Christmas cards.
I'm not going to say to you in person, but read the card.
She'll start hiding behind a pillow if she starts talking about emotions.
Yes, pillow safety net. All right, what about you, Janet? What do you think is your best quality as a friend?
So I also said, like, the thing that I get the most often is that I am a good listener, and that I make people feel heard. And I think that is also because I'm pretty hesitant to, like, give advice, because I truly believe that, like, there isn't necessarily a right answer for things, right? Mm. So I often want people to arrive at the answer themselves, and I will mostly be there to listen and to ask questions to get them to answer and talk more, and then hope, and then eventually get them to, like, answer their own question. So I have noticed that, like, since I was young, that people often will come to me and, like, share their feelings, or if they're struggling with something. So I don't have, like, a concrete example, but I know that that has happened often. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've noticed, I don't know if this is, like, I guess it's, I don't know if it's a quality in friendship, but, like, when I was younger and I would be in, like, larger friend groups with, like, my, like, the neighbor kids, you know, when you're younger, people get into fights a lot. And so I remember that when fights would happen, I would almost always be that, like, moderator person who's, like, the messenger that, like, goes to the corner and talks to one party and, like, you know, and then gets their message and then goes to the other party and kind of, like, negotiates and make sure it's, like, everyone cool and we're all okay. So I feel like that's probably, those are generally my qualities. And the third I will say is that I think I'm also generally reliable. I get that quite a bit. I think it's just, like, a person, not necessarily in my friendships, but at work or all those things. Like, I'm generally kind of, like, pretty steady, I guess. I don't know.
So. Yes. Isn't it awkward to talk about yourself? But I will concur with everything that you are saying. You are extremely dependable. I find you to be a very good support system. Like, whenever we, like, myself or Mel, we have something on our minds, like, it's so easy to talk to you because we know that you're not judgmental. You have no, like, other ulterior motive or anything else, but you just, like, want to be there to listen and to give advice and help. You, like, that is your Enneagram. You are a number 9, the helper, and that is, like, that is you through and through. You're just a very good, compassionate, kind-spirited person.
Yes. Thank you.
That's a good example, but you remind me of, like, a sturdy rock in a flowing river.
Oh.
Like a current. Like, I can see a lot of things changing and moving, but in some ways we always know we can rely on you. You'll always be this very, like, steady and, like, strong foundation and person we can always rely on.
I like that.
You know, sounds like cool. But,
You're a poet, Mel.
Yeah.
I know.
We got a rapper, what? A rapper and a poet today.
Right? To add to what Helen said, Jen, I for sure have gone to you so many times. There are moments where I didn't know who to go to and I went to you, and you'd always give me, like, these advice where you're like, well, you're very non-judgmental with what's going on with me, and I always feel like, but you always ask me, like, these, like, questions. You're like, so how do you feel about that? Like, very, like, these type of general questions where you're not like, well, what you're doing is shitty. But anyways, like, you don't ever respond that way. So I think what your descriptions are very accurate.
Janet's our therapist.
Yeah.
I have been told that as well. I've had people in the middle of conversations and, like, am I paying for this session?
It's like, we owe Janet a lot of money.
But Mel, how about you? What do you think is your best quality as a friend?
Honestly, I had to text Justin from J-Raw Twins this question because I didn't know how to answer this for myself. It's like you said, Helen, it's, like, so awkward to talk about yourself. And I was like, hey, what is my best quality as a friend? And he said, loyal and dependable. And I was like, can you share an example so I know what you're talking about? And he was, like, saying, so, you know, you both know. So Jason and Justin are twins and they were living together for a while, but Jason moved back to Seattle. So that was a very hard time for Justin. And Justin, this is the first time I ever saw him cry, like, ever. And he was, like, really heartbroken. And he told me, he's like, you're willing to drop everything just to be with me. Like, it didn't matter what was going on. You're like, you wanted to just be there. I was like, yeah, I guess in some ways, I think when it comes to my friends, friends, like, I'm very loyal because when I think about my friendships, I actually put them really high on my totem pole of values. Like, I really value my friendships because I think I have such deep connections, you know, with you both and, like, just my close friends here. And, like, I have also had, maybe I am loyal because I have friends from so many different aspects of my life, from, like, elementary school to college to high school. I'm still loyal to these groups of friends. I guess I'm loyal and dependable. Dependable, I'm just like, really? I don't know, but that's what they said.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree with that. I think those are two very good words to describe you. Like, loyal, and also, like, even to the points of what you were bringing up earlier in the qualities that you want in a friend, saying, like, you will go sort of, like, above and beyond to make someone feel special. Like, I feel like you do that, too. When you, like, cook for us, when you see that I have all this, like, home renovation stuff going on, and you're just like, I think you need food. I'm like, I do need food. And then you just show up with, like, food. I'm like, hey, thanks. You know, like, you're thinking about your friends, and you will drop everything to be with a friend if they need you.
Yeah.
This fits your description of a golden retriever.
Yeah, that's loyal, true. Dependable. That's true. Yeah. No, loyal or loyalty. I know there's a game called loyalty that we play sometimes, but I think...
Oh, that's a different
loyalty. Game. Yep. I think, Mel, for me, that's like the number one thing that I would think of you. You do hold your friendships very high value, and you will through and through make sure that, like, they are prioritized, and, like, I don't know, I just feel like... I just have memories of, like, if something happens and you feel like even potentially you could have hurt someone, like, a close friend's feelings, you'll, like, go in and check in on them. Like, are you sure you're okay? Mm-hmm. It also probably comes from a place of you're, like, being more sensitive person, too. I feel like you're very, So loyalty, I can definitely see that.
I love glasses, so whenever I see someone wearing glasses that I feel are super stylish, I always ask them what brand they use. The answer is pretty unanimous, and it's always from Warby Parker. So recently, I was on the hunt for a new pair of sunglasses for my mom. She's had the same sunglasses for 10 years, and she needed an upgrade. I signed up for Warby Parker, did their quiz, and they sent me a bunch of amazing high-quality sunglasses to try on. I love their home try-on kit because my mom and I both have wider, flatter faces, so it's hard to find sunglasses that actually fit. It was difficult to choose one, but I got her the Raglan in Tea Rose Fade. She loves them so much, and they look so good on her. Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores. This includes eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses. Their glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. They also have sunglasses, progressives, and blue light lenses. Try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses to try at home for free for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. Ships free includes a prepaid return shipping label. Try 5 pairs of glasses at home for free at warbyparker.com/ABG.
Health is wealth, so the saying goes, and growing up in an Asian household, I was often exposed to Eastern values of maintaining good health, so I know it's a priority in our culture. As Asian Americans, we have unique health concerns, yet our voices aren't being heard in health research. And when research doesn't include us, future health discoveries may not either. Sharing our health information can help researchers address the health problems in our community. Research studies in the U.S. have rarely considered Asian American people, and it's well past time for that to change. The All of Us Research Program wants to gather health information from 1 million or more people. They want people from all walks of life to take part. That means young and old people, men and women, and people from cities and rural areas. It means sick and healthy people, and it means people of different races, ethnicities, and sexual orientations. They will collect information such as your height, weight, health conditions, and medicines. Researchers may be able to use this information to better understand and improve health for all of us. The more people who join, the more information researchers will have and the more they will learn. Ask your friends and family to join to make a difference at joinallofus.org/ABG.
Everyone knows I'm a binge watcher, and I feel like I'm pretty much caught up with every show imaginable. If you're like me and on the hunt for something new to watch, you need to check out Acorn TV. It's the largest commercial-free British streaming service with hundreds of exclusive shows from around the world, including award-winning mysteries, dramas, comedies, and so much more. I really enjoy shows that take place in a different time period because I love seeing how they execute production and costumes. One show that's on my list is Miss Fisher's Modern Murder Mysteries. Not only does it take place in the 60s, but the lead is a woman and has such a fun personality. This show follows Peregrine Fisher, a lady detective who investigates murder in Melbourne in the 1960s. With the help of the handsome, straight-laced detective James Steed, hello, and a group of accomplished women, Peregrine manages her new life as a detective. If you're ready for a streaming service that offers new stories, new characters, and breath breathtaking sceneries every week, do what I did and get Acorn TV. Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and use promo code ABG. Make sure to enter the code in all lowercase letters. That's ACORN.TV, code ABG to get your first 30 days for free.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, they say that we are the average of the 5 people closest to us. It would seem then that our friends are a reflection of us at any given point in our life. And as we change many times over the course of our lives, our friends may change as well. So I'm curious, Janet, who was your best friend as a kid? And can you describe them in your relationship?
So I have a hard time with choosing best friends. And I actually have 2 answers for this. And it's interesting because they're both very, very different. But when I think about like my kind of the first few friendships and best friendship relationships I had as a child, these are people that like I really grew up with together, people whom like I went to their homes and I knew their families and they came to my home and they knew my family. So these are very interesting and unique relationships, right? Because as you get older, there sometimes the familial interaction isn't quite there the same way. And there's a certain familiarity with them that, you know, I don't maybe talk to these people anymore on a day-to-day basis, but like they know where I come from and I know where they come from. One of my best friends when I was young, I actually met her in kindergarten and we connected because she was also Taiwanese Chinese. So our parents kind of also got along. Our friend dynamic was like we were those girls that had the friendship, you know, necklaces, the one where she has half the heart and then I have half the heart. And she was just always the very like trendy one, the one who like got into boys first, who would like, I learned about clothes and fashion from her. She was really into like Limited 2. I don't know if anyone remembers Limited 2.
I still have Limited 2 underwear.
Yeah. Do you really, Mel?
It's my drawer.
Wait, do they still exist as a brand? I don't know anymore. So she was like kind of all around, you know, the girl that was like a much more girly girl. She was actually the reason why I got into dance too, because she really wanted to go take dance classes. And her mom said, I will sign you up, but you have to find a friend to go. And so her mom called my mom to try to convince me to go so that we could have like a carpool going. And I remember I was like, yeah, sure, I'll try. I don't really, you know, care, but I have her to thank for helping me like discover that hobby or that love of, you know, that part of my life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was always kind of like, she was a little older than I was and was always kind of the cooler and like the smarter one. She kind of tested naturally into the gifted and talented program. And it was the first one to have a boyfriend. I remember in like 6th grade when I was still kind of like, guys, I don't know, whatever. Like I would like be the note passer for her for the guys.
Oh. What's her name?
Yeah. Her name is Catherine. Catherine. So she actually now lives in Taiwan, or she moved to Taiwan.
Oh.
And she went there, I think, to teach. And now I think maybe works in marketing or something. We were really good friends all through elementary school, but we drifted apart and we started to diverge starting in maybe like junior high. And I think it was really because we started, like our interests started kind of moving apart. And she was really getting into like popularity and guys and like kind of the social aspect, which is normal for a teenager. And I just like was not into, I don't know, I just like never cared about popularity. I always felt kind of like a little bit more like alternative, I guess, or, and I just didn't, you know, and I wasn't interested in like boys and that kind of a thing. So we kind of drifted, and she actually started getting closer to this other girl. And I just remember the ending of our like close friendship being filled with a lot of like stupid petty fights, right? And in hindsight, when I reflect back, I'm like, oh, I think I was jealous. I was probably really jealous that she was like, she found a new friend. But anyways, yeah, it's all good though. That was a long time ago. And she is someone that was like really pivotal for me. I think the way that I grew up with cousins, she was close like family. The second person is a friend that I grew up down the street from. Her parents to this day live 3 houses down from my parents. And I've known this girl probably the earliest ever. I think I met her when I was maybe three or four. And she is someone that I truly like. I like half lived at her house and she half lived at my house. And she's a Vietnamese American. So I grew up always with memories of like knowing what it smells like to be in a Vietnamese home with her mom cooking all the time and trying all the different varieties of food. And she had an older sister and also a brother. And we would just always be at each other's homes, like kind of playing around and you know, being kids. And as we got older, she was pretty critical for me because a lot of my other like Asian or South Asian American friends were more kind of heavily influenced by the traditional way of thinking about academics in terms of like prioritizing math and science. She actually did end up majoring in science, I think. But as an elementary school student in junior high, she loved reading and writing. This girl was like the most intense reader that I knew. She would go through books like crazy. And so I think that really impacted me that I had a friend who was so interested in that kind of stuff. And then as we got, even when we got into college, like she, when we weren't, that was the first time in college where we kind of separated and not, we're not like neighbors basically. And she kept our friendship going through, and this is before the time of like text messaging and, you know, all of that. So she would write me handwritten letters when we were in college. And because of that, I feel like I had this practice of like expressing myself through language because I would write her back. And she also was very vulnerable. And like, I remember her, because she realized for the first time moving away to college, like the importance of certain friendships. And she shared, like, she's like, you know, I really love you as a person. Aww. And yeah. And I was like, oh, and it made me kind of reflect and have to learn to express myself and my feelings through the written word as well. So yeah, I think those are two people that really had an impact on my childhood and are probably a reflection of how I was as a kid.
Where's this the second friend today? Do you still keep in contact with her?
Yeah, we don't talk often, but we still always, like, you know, for big holidays and stuff. She now lives it's not quite San Diego, but kind of like around San Diego County area with her husband. So yeah, she's still in the neighborhood, and her parents still live 3 houses down from my parents.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Aww.
How about you, Mel? Like, what is your memory of some of your early friendships?
When I think of my first best friend, I thought that was really hard for me to pinpoint. I'm not sure if it's preschool or elementary school, but I had a friend named Erica I play with all the time. The only memory I have with her, to be honest, is this photo of me and her hugging in front of a Christmas tree.
Aww.
And that's it, to be honest. So maybe that's not really I think that was my first quote unquote best friend. But as you're describing your experience, Janet, like with your elementary school friend that went to middle school, my actually real probably first best friend was my friend Vicky that you guys both know. So Vicky is the one I met in fourth grade at the bus stop. And we found out that her family is also from Taiwan. So my grandma and her mom became friends. And so at the bus stop, they'll talk with each other. And then we gradually became friends. And we would go over to her house for dinner. And then she'll come over to my house. And we were so close to the fact that when my grandma went to China for for vacation, she like brought back a qi pao for me and for her. To match and stuff. So we have like photos together in our qi pao in elementary school. But she's like your classic, when you think of like your classic like best friend in elementary to middle school, like I think of Vicky. Like if you guys watch Pen 15, that's literally like that our relationship. It was us too. Like we would be like dressing up and like whatever, like we would match clothing and like we did this activity together where we would listen to like Celine Dion and sing for each other and then rate each other's singing because it really influenced by American Idol. And I would be so butthurt because she would give me a low score and I'd be like, and at that time I thought she was tone deaf and I was in choir. So I'd be like, why do I get a 6 and I gave you a 9? Like that's just not right. So I remember getting really butthurt about those things and like the dumbest things we would do. Like obviously when you're in middle school, elementary school, you're kind of like getting into boys. And during the summer, we would call each other every day. And she would come over sometimes, and I didn't have a pool, but my grandpa would blow up this, like, big blow-up
like pool a kiddie in the backyard. Pool, yeah.
A kiddie pool. And there are moments where we'd be in the backyard just swimming, and I'd be like, who do you like? And then we'll just share the guys we like, and we pretend to kiss the guys on the pool. So we're like pretend to make out with the guy, but we're making out with the blow-up pool, which just sounds so weird to say out loud. And, you know, and we do silly things like we would hold our stuffed animals and then pretend to slow dance with the guy that we're with. So, like, very classic, those, like, kind of, like, silly adolescent, you know, learning about boys. We did it together. But, yeah, she was probably my first best friend that I have very distinct memories with. And I'm still close with Vicky. Like, she lives in LA now. So, yeah. We remain friends ever since we were 10.
Aww, oh, my God.
That is so cute. I mean, that's funny you bring up all those memories because I'm like, yeah, those you make out with random things.
Right.
With your friends around. And it's like, find your corner and go make out with your stuffed animal or whatever it is. It's, oh, my gosh. Yes. Can you imagine one day seeing your daughters kids or sons doing that?
Oh, my gosh.
I would probably cringe, but also, like, be very entertained by it. It's weird.
All the stories that you shared, Mel, I feel like are very telling of you, too. I could see you pretending to, you know, like, sing and wanting to perform for each other and kind of, like, you know, like, that type of performance aspect, and then also being very, like, not boy crazy, but, you know,
yeah,
just, like,
for sure.
Just
no, for sure.
It started young.
I remember, I don't know if you guys had this experience with your best friends, but, like, we would play CDs, like, Mandy Moore and sing, like, This I Promise You or, like, Only Hope. I'd be like, this song reminds me of, these are my feelings. Like, we would literally talk about how this song just reminds me of this boy. Anyways, that was my first best friend. Helen, I'm curious to hear if you have any experiences making out in corners with stuffed animals too. So who was your first best friend?
I mean, I definitely did, but let's not talk about that. So my first best friend, her name was Rita, and we knew each other since, I want to say, like, either preschool or kindergarten. It's obviously, I can't remember. But she, yes, for any friends from, like, home listening, they know her because she was like, kind of in our friend group up till maybe, like, eighth grade or so. But she is Cambodian-American, and she spoke Khmer with her family, and she was so cool. Like, if I were to describe her, she was so smart, and she had such a chill, relaxed personality, and a real I-don't-give-a-fuck attitude about her. Like, as a kid, can you imagine as a kid having a I-don't-give-a-fuck attitude? I'm just like, she's so cool. But her cousins actually lived behind my apartment. So if you remember where I got proposed was in the gravel area behind my apartment. And after dinner, if Rita was around at her cousin's place, she would be screaming for me to, like, come down and play with her. Like, Helen, come down! And be like, okay! So I would come down the 3 flights of stairs and climb over the fence to her community, which was this incredible, loving Cambodian community. And when we were kids, we made these, like, long ropes out of rubber bands. Do you guys ever do that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And then we would play jump rope and just, like, hang out all the time. And she was someone to me that was a person I wanted to be so much like. Mm-hmm. Like, extremely smart. I remember copying her Latin homework sometimes. Very meticulous, and again, very cool. And I think as a kid, I was always part of the popular kid crowd, but I was always the nerd or the reserved one. And I still remember, like, people picked on me the most within the group, which is kind of sad to think about. But I have this, like, one fond memory that was probably in third grade, so I was probably, like, 8 years old, and in the mornings, before we went into our homerooms, everyone would get breakfast in the cafeteria, and then file in a straight line outside these large doors before you enter in the school area, the, like, non-cafeteria section of the building, and I always prided myself on being, like, first in line. I don't know why. It's a nerd thing to do, but I was always first or third out of, like, 100 kids in line, and I would just, like, pull out my homework and do homework there or scribble or even journal. And it's very rare for us, I think, to remember memories from when we were that young. Mm-hmm. But there's one memory that sticks out with me waiting in line. And very often I would take out my notebook and I would write in there, I hope Rita is nice to me today.
because I think I, like, really valued our friendship, and I really wanted her to like me. Yeah. And this, like, this people-pleasing side of me had has always been there ever since I was a kid. And because I was always, like, the nerd or the one that kind of felt left out or picked on or whatever. So I wrote a lot of letters like that, kind of, like, praying that Rita would like me and be nice to me that day.
Mm. But she was nice to you, right?
She was, but I think it's that, like, I don't give a fuck attitude that I'd be like, oh, is it, like, are you mad at me? Or is something happened at home? Or what, like, why? Because I was always the type of person that was just, like, always nice to friends, you know? So I didn't understand when someone was giving me an attitude or because it was a result of something else that was happening in their lives. Mm. So I've been trying to find those letters. And every time I go home, I try to search for these, like, letters because I wrote a lot of them. But I can't find them. My mom probably saw them and threw them away because she's probably like, this is toxic. So we were really good friends up until eighth grade or so. And that's when I had mentioned in earlier episodes, we were both, like, skipping school a lot. We would skip school to play basketball. We got into fights with, like, gangs in our community. These little kids who would always say that they would get, like, their older brothers or sisters on us who were in the Crips and on Bloods. And our community definitely had people like that. So we would either fight back or run away. And it was, like, us two always getting into trouble. We were also, like, subtle pyros. We loved going to the forest and just burning things, leaves, paper, whatever it was. Very not safe to do, but we were dumb and we were susceptible to being rebellious kids. After my whole incident with my mom, which I had mentioned on the podcast before, and deciding for myself that I wanted to become a better daughter for my mom, that's when Rita and I stopped hanging out with each other. And she eventually left high school as well. She dropped out. So it's a very sad reason to not have my childhood best friend. But when I look at her Facebook, and I look at it every so often, she has three beautiful kids who are probably, like, 5+ now, and I am very happy to see that she has such a beautiful family, but our lives are definitely no longer, like, intertwined.
Wow, I feel like I went through, like, a really, like, a good chapter.
Pathetic child.
No, I mean, also, I feel like it's very telling of your personality, Helen. Like, when you say she has that don't give a fuck, like, I can see that part of you. There's, like, a certain grit and, like, a certain toughness to you that I can definitely see reflected in that. Because I think, when you're young, like, those are very, you're very impressionable, right? Those are very impressionable years. Yeah, I also didn't know that you were considered, like, you were picked on and you were considered the nerdy of the cool crowd or of the pop. That's an interesting sector to be in because you're in the cool, the popular kids crowd. But then within that group, you're kind of getting picked on.
Yeah, because I feel like no matter what, kids are always picking on each other, like making fun of little things, like, oh, your clothes are weird or whatever. And I feel like I was always the one picked on and be like, why? But then I also didn't fight back because I would just take it because I'm like, oh, they're my friends, you know, maybe this is just what friendships are like. And I just have to be that person that absorbs everyone's, like, pain or something. I don't know.
Mel, were you, I would, curious, like, when you were in, like, elementary and middle school, would you say you were in, like, what crowd would you have associated yourself with?
I never was in the popular crowd in elementary or, like, middle school. And to be honest, I think I've always wanted to be, though. I was always like, oh, like, in middle school, there was these really cool girls that wore, like, Fat Farm shoes. And here I am wearing Payless shoes. And they would be the ones that would take the sticky pictures, like the studio
pictures.
And I felt so honored when one of the girls would give me one of their photos. I'm just like, oh my God, I got a photo from her. I would feel like, oh, she sees me. It's just so weird, you know? So I can totally, when I read my Enneagram, like, type 3, wing 2, I was like, oh, this totally is, childhood.
Interesting.
Because and so I don't think I really was, but I always admire them from afar.
I could see if our timelines were aligned, like, I would have been the nerdy one and I would have been like, oh, who's this nerdy kid? And then we would have been nerdy friends.
It would be like, they're taking studio pictures. Well, we're going to take our own studio pictures.
And make out in the corner with our stuffed animals.
So cool. So all three of us were, no, Helen was in the popular crowd, but, like, the nerdy in the popular crowd. And Janet, you were not in the popular crowd.
I feel like I just, like, was in my own world. I don't know. I could see that. I kind of just, like, I feel like I wasn't in the popular crowd, or if there was one too, I wasn't really aware of it. And then I just didn't really care. I just kind of did my own thing. I don't know. I'm the kid in the sandbox by myself.
I can see Janet being like, what is the word groups? What is a crowd? Like, there's no, that doesn't exist. I don't know.
I don't believe in the idea of hierarchy.
Or friendships.
Or friendships, yeah. Open relationships for all. But yeah, I mean, so childhood years, you know, friendships are childhood years in general are very formative. Mm-hmm. And then we have high school. And high school is like a whole other world, right? Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your friendships were like in high school. Like, who were the people that you were around? What were those dynamics like? How about you, Mel?
Okay, so I mentioned Vicky. I met her when I was 10. And then after Vicky, I actually met her really good friend, her childhood friend, Lindsay. So Lindsay and I are actually the same year. We went to the same middle school together, same classes. And then Vicky is a year younger than us. So I think when we went to high school, that's when all three of us kind of came together and hung out. It's really interesting because I think all three of us come from different backgrounds. Like, everyone, when we told them, like, oh, we're best friends, everyone's like, really? You guys are so different. Like, I was in the choir group. Vicky was in this rebellious group that I don't know what they did. And then Lindsay had her own friends. She was in the swim team. So, like, very different people coming together. But what brought us together is that we had a neighborhood group of friends that my friend Ian, his mom Tammy, would invite all the kids over after school. And on Friday, she'll cook these big meals, like very American style. Like, the neighborhood kids gather and she'll make spaghetti and casseroles for us and drive us to football games and have like swim parties and barbecues in her backyard for all the kids. So she loved the kids. So we'd all go there. And so I feel like I kind of in some ways think I had this like really fun, like movie-esque type of like dynamic in high school with these different groups of people. Because even though I had Vicky and Lindsay and all three of us are Taiwanese American, but everyone that went to Tammy's was like different. There was like Caucasian, mixed people, like Latino, like all of us are very different people just coming together and hanging out and building this really good friendship. But I feel like my time in high school, my relationship is very like, also, like, you know, typical things in high school, like, you know, going to football games and having a lot of fun and, you know, talking about prom and, you know, Vicky and Lindsay and myself, like, Lindsay and I actually got our first boyfriends around the same time, or our first, like, big official boyfriend. So we would talk about, like, oh, how was your first kiss and, like, you know, other stuff, like,
you know. Other firsts.
Other first things you explore in high school. Like, what is that? And then just, you know, dealing with college and pressures from our parents. Like, I used to have class with Lindsay, and I remember she'd feel so, like, pressured to, like, apply to colleges. So we'd talk about that. But, yeah, I think our experience is very – it's funny because I actually texted Lindsay this morning. I was like, do you remember, like – what do you remember when you think of our high school relationship? She's like, honestly, I just think about all the fun times we had at Tammy's house and, like, swimming and, like, you know – all these just fun memories. I'm just like, yeah, like, I can't think of really anything that's, like, really negative from that time in high school. And I guess my relation with them now is I'm still, like, close with Lindsay and Vicky. Lindsay is actually getting married in a few weeks. I'm one of her maid of honor. So I think all three of us, like, even though we had definitely, like, we're different people now for sure, but I think we were able to maintain, like, our closeness by, you know, group chatting and stuff like that. And I always see them when I'm back at home. So, yeah, that was my experience in high school.
Yeah, I feel like your friendships from when you were a kid to high school are like so strong. Like, you even tell us stories about how you would like shower together and stuff. That's like mind boggling to me. But it's like a next level of friendship that's like so open.
Yeah. Oh my god. Actually, now you said that, I was like, oh, that is true. So Vicky and Lindsay were the ones that like we literally like. Yeah, we showered together, you know, and you would talk about, like, pubic hair. Like, oh, my God, you have so much more hair than me. Why? You have so little. Like, little stupid things like that we'd talk about. But it's a little weird now that I say it out loud, but, like, is that creepy?
And the whole Asian Boss Girl network and community knows.
Sorry. It is what it is, but... Helen, I'm curious. So you probably didn't shower with your best friends in high school?
I did not shower with anyone but probably my sister until we were like maybe four and then stop. I don't know. But yes, not at pubic hair age. So my best friend in high school, I would say, is Christine, as you know, yes. As you both know, who I still love very much today. She lives in Boston and she is the first person I reach out to whenever I go home to visit. She is my comfort. Like, I feel like our relationship has not changed ever since high school. Mm. Even the crude humor that we have is still very prevalent between us. And she just kind of like gets me, you know, it's like, it's so easy to be around her. And she is so caring and compassionate. Like, if you get sad, she will literally get sad with you and feel the pain with you and be there to support you, but like really feel it with you too. And she is someone that I can trust. So all of the things that I kind of mentioned earlier of qualities that I look for in a friend, she encompasses them. And I love her so much. One memory that I have, I think I've brought this up before in the past, and I pick on her about this all the time, was when we were in college together, and this random guy messaged me on Facebook and asked if we can go on a date. Did I mention this already on our podcast?
No, but please share.
I might have. Okay. And so this was the first time ever that I was like, okay, maybe I will go on this random blind date with someone who just reached out to me on Facebook. And he was someone from BC. He's on campus. So he was like, oh, I've seen you around on campus. And I don't know. Nowadays, I would have been like, that is stalkery. But at the same time, I was like, hey, props to you for having the courage to reach out to someone like this. Yeah. So she was the one. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this. This is really weird. And she was like, what if that is your future husband? Oh my gosh, I kind of sounded like her when I just said that too. What if that's your future husband? And you know, who knows? You know, he's not bad looking on the laptop. And I was just like, okay, I don't know, dude. But so I went on my first blind date ever, and I've only had two random person dates in my life. I'm trying to think back to make sure that's correct. I'm pretty sure I've only had two like setup dates with someone random. So this guy, he shows up to our dorm room, and Christine is there with me. She was my freshman year roommate. And I open the door, and this is gonna be kind of mean, but I looked at him and I was like, this ain't what you look like in your photos.
Oh, I didn't say that.
But I was like, okay, please give me a minute. And I close the door, and then I like fucking pummeled Christine, and we were silently laughing so hard. And she's just like, don't kill me, like whispering, because he's standing right outside our door. So,
oh my god.
If he were to hear commotion inside the room, it'd be very obvious, but I was just like, you bitch. Like, he does not look anything like his photos. And now I have to go out with this random guy and go on a full date with him. And it was like one of the worst dates ever, but it was bad. Hilarious. It was so bad. I was just like, you owe me one. So all of that to say, it's a fun story. And I would say find a friend that encourages you to get out of your comfort zone. Because who knows? Like, he could have been the one for me, right? But I wasn't willing to take that chance. So, but she's basically like a sister to me, and we've been through a lot of different experiences, a lot of fun ones.
That's awesome. Wait, really quickly, how did you meet Christine?
I met her in high school. So we were probably in seventh grade. Yeah. Just through the same classes. A lot of Asian people hung out with our Asian group, and yeah, we got pretty close ever since like seventh grade.
I will say that when you describe Christine, because Jan and I had both met Christine whenever we go to Boston, she definitely has like a really cool energy and vibe. Like she has this. You guys are both very similar. When you both have this like, let's go, we're down. They have this down type of personality, and I'm just like, I can see why you and Helen get along so well. I see it. It's this energy. You guys are both very similar.
Yeah. Every time I go home, we used to go to this place called, anyone in Boston who knows, this underground club called Storyville. I brought you ladies there before, but every time I go home, like, Christine, we have to go to Storyville. She's like, okay, let's do it. And then we try to get like everyone, all of our other friends to go with us, and they're like, no, that club is nasty. Like, why would you go there? Everyone's so sweaty and it's cramped in there. But like, we have so much fun there. So we just have a lot of fun together, just like randomly, you know, catching up, gossiping, whatever it is. It just feels like we're back in high school every time we're back together. So that's like, I feel like those are true best friend qualities when, you know, despite the distance and time, it always just feels like you're back to where you guys left off. How about for you, Jay? Who was your best friend in high school?
So once again, I don't really have like best friends in school. I kind of just have like groups of people, but but I will say friend?
What if
but I will say like if I think about who I was in high school and how like what my kind of like focus was, and therefore like the people that I like surrounded myself with, I was like really academically focused and like probably to an unhealthy level, like at the neglect of everything else. Like I really didn't care about social life or popularity or any of those things. And I was just so fully focused on like doing well and going to a good school. And there, though I was in like dance and I did different things. So I had like different small groups of people that I would float between. The one group that I still keep in contact with today were a group of like it was like four or five of us, and these were girls who were all from either Asian or South Asian American homes. Like, all of their parents were immigrants, and they came here from India, Pakistan, Vietnam, China, and Taiwan. And generally were also, you know, same kind of beeline focus of focusing on school and academics and wanting to go into a good school and not really like caring so much about like the social life or different things like that. But of the group, I would say that I bonded the most with Sheila, who is like one of my closest friends to this day. And now we still hang out, and she's in Long Beach. She has second kid on the way, so we haven't been able to hang out as much. But we bonded, I think, because that group, a lot of, like I said, I think because a lot of us came from like immigrant families and our parents were, you know, just like, just a kind of more conservative and more traditional Asian influence in our demeanor. But Sheila and I bonded because I think she was also a little bit more liberal and less traditional. She loved Tupac, and we both shared a love for Lauryn Hill. And, you know, so there was a taste in music that was a little different. And also we both, you know, were into kind of like the dark nail polish, a little bit of alternative style. We wore Doc Martens. So we're just a little bit more of like counterculture-ish, I guess you could say, versus our other friends were a little bit more kind of like maybe more proper. I don't know if that's the right word. And that also meant that, you know, as we went into college and started drinking and stuff, she was my friend that we were always like going out and dancing and drinking together, and probably to the dismay of the other girls in the group. And in terms of like my relationship with her, we bonded over that, but, what is interesting is that I think because, and I've done so much reflecting about like where my like ambitious drive came from as a child, even though I felt like my parents were very like lax, but I still felt like I was my own tiger parent in my head. And she was important to me because I think that, you know, in high school and in college, we were both like good students. We weren't amazingly smart. Like, because there were people, I feel like there were like some amazing, but I would say like we were pretty, you know, we were both like graduated with over like four, you know, like we did well. But she really excelled in graduate school. So she scored really high on the LSATs and was like waitlisted for Harvard and went to Duke for law school. So I felt like she kind of like vicariously through her, I kind of saw the accomplishment of like, you know, what a Asian or South Asian parent is, you know, their dream is of. And yet, if you talk to her about that experience, she like had a lot of very challenging experiences in law school, and sometimes would say like, "Oh, I chose the wrong, you know, whatever it was." But ended up in her career. Like, I think when she first went to law school, I remember her telling me, "I'm going to go work for a big, big law, like make all the money and do the, you know, the corporate law." She ended up working in. She's a public defender. So she, like, that is very, like, social focused. And I definitely saw a change in her, like, near the end of law school and all throughout, where she just became really, really passionate about kind of, like, the underdog. And I think being Pakistani-American herself and being a woman and probably going through law school and going to Duke, where there's a lot of people that come from money and wealth, and in being kind of exposed to that environment, I think she just kind of flipped a little bit of her, of what her values were and her priorities. So I don't know. I think that probably has a huge impact on me and how I was progressing through my career and what I was seeing as valuable. And also I think that we both went through really big challenges coming out of school and trying to figure out our career paths, because she came out of law school. I think she graduated during the like economic downturn. So she was like jobless for like a year or so. And imagine you're coming out of law school, like you just spent a shit ton of money, you know, and not being able to work and all that. So she was really there for me in a lot of really hard points in my life, and I feel like I was there for her as well.
She sounds like an amazing friend to have, and I could see also how she kind of balances you out really well too, like someone who is very studious and focused on the studies, and then also just this like alternative, like more ratchet lifestyle that we all know Janet has in her, you know. It's like a perfect combination, especially for young Janet who's still trying to figure out like her place in this world. She sounds like someone who is a very strong pillar of a friend to just like have by your side.
Especially if, you know, it sounds like your other group of friends felt like they're kind of like played by the book or more by the book. And Sheila seems more like, let's just paint the town red and see what happens. And I feel like you guys are very similar in that. I always see a picture of Sheila and her family on your fridge because you have your Christmas card there.
Yeah.
She seems really fun and sweet.
I
I've never been the biggest fan of in-store shopping. Between the commute to and from, the crowds, and the checkout lines, ugh, no thank you. For all those reasons, I, like many of you, I'm sure, do quite a bit of online shopping. And like many of you, I assume, I use Honey. But if I'm wrong and you're not using Honey, you're pretty much missing out on free money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Honey has saved me money on everything from food orders to clothing purchases and even those flowers I ordered to be delivered for a friend's birthday. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online and has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/ABG. That's joinhoney.com/ABG.
It is officially grilling season, baby. Honestly, one thing I love about summer is barbecue. I'm thinking grilled steaks, drumsticks, marinated with my mom's special sauce, salmon. I just can't wait. Let's be real though. Everyone is thinking the same thing, so it's going to be hard to find quality meat for your friends. But thankfully, with ButcherBox, I won't have that issue. Today's sponsor, ButcherBox, believes everyone deserves high-quality, humanely sourced meat. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat right to my home. Each box has 9-11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. I can customize my box or go with one of theirs. Either way, I get exactly what I want. And new members will get free bacon for life when they sign up. That's perfect because one of my favorite dishes to make during the summer is bacon-wrapped enoki. Yum. Again, backed by popular demand, receive bacon for life. Right now, new members can get bacon for life when they sign up. Just go to butcherbox.com/ABG. That's a package of free bacon in every box for the life of your subscription when you go to butcherbox.com/ABG.
Hi, ABGs and ABBs. It's Janet here, and I want to share with you all one of my current favorite clean beauty brands, Thrive Cosmetics. They make high-performance, vegan, 100% cruelty-free products without the use of parabens or sulfates. Not only are their products effective, beautiful, vegan, and cruelty-free, the company has a bigger-than-beauty mission where for every product purchased, they donate to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. I'm currently on my second tube of their Liquid Lash Extensions mascara. It mimics the look of lash extensions with a firm-hold tubing formula that slides off with warm water and a washcloth. I also really like their Bright Balance 3-in-1 Cleanser, which is my current go-to face wash. The formula feels like a light lotion and smells delicious. I'm a big fan of this brand, and if you're interested in checking them out too, visit thrivecosmetics.com/ABG for 15% off your first order. This is an exclusive offer you can only get here. That's Thrive, C-A-U-S-E, medics.com/ABG for 15% off your first order. That's thrivecosmetics.com/ABG.
Who was a good friend in your early career years, and what qualities did they have?
Okay, so I am going to say my friend Crystal at Ernst & Young. I love that girl. She was my coworker and my best friend at work. And I don't think I could have survived without her. And she tells me quite often that she is not surviving without me there. Oh. So, sorry, Crystal, but I needed her there for my own sanity. She is so smart, so meticulous. And even though she was like 1-2 years, she's older than me, but she was 1-2 years like behind me in climbing the corporate ladder because she entered from different firms and whatnot. But I went to her for like so many of my questions, and either she knew the answers or she would find the answers, you know. Mm-hmm. So she was a very dependable, reliable person. She's also the first person that ever bought a t-shirt from Asian Boss Girl, and was our first sale ever, our first dollar ever, because I remember I brought like a sample to work to just, because I was excited. I was like, this is what I'm doing. Look, we have a t-shirt. Yeah. And she was like, here's my money. Take it. When I was literally just trying to show her the shirt. Aww. So she's always been incredibly supportive, and I confided in her with like everything going on at work. She was my gossip queen. She was who I could complain to. And I even went to her about things going on in my personal life, because it's nice to have a friend that is removed from your personal life and removed from the people
people that are in your life, because she doesn't know who they are. So she gave me very unbiased opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like totally forgot about this, but even like my personal like deep dark secrets or whatever, like I shared those with her because it was just so easy to talk to her. And it's kind of funny because she is from China. Like I think she moved here after college, so that sometimes there is a language barrier or even like societal differences and not really understanding the social construct of living in the US and what is socially acceptable or not. Like I remember she would always ask me questions like, why did our boss, like, why did he do that? Like, is that normal? Is that an American thing? Why does it feel weird? And I'd be like, I had to explain it to her, you know, this is how it is and whatever. But she was always trying to grasp like the difference between Chinese culture and American culture. But I will say, though, that when I did ask her for help, and especially with personal things, she was one of the best listeners and the best advice givers. And there were moments where I would be like, no matter where we are raised or where we are born, there is a very human element about all of us, like globally, that is just so similar. And it was very comforting to have like learned that lesson from her, that we honestly are more similar than we are different. So I would say Crystal, shout out to Crystal. I don't know if you listen to the podcast, you're probably too busy, but she for sure saved me at EY for the 7 years I was in the LA office.
Oh, wow. It's very special to hear you talk about like a friend or a close relationship like that, because that's so different from my experience. Since I jumped around at so many different jobs, I never had like a very close person to me at work. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those are very important years in your life, in your early and middle career, right? Where you're, and especially in an industry like yours and in a job like yours, where it was so like demanding and, you know, really pushes you to your limits. Thank you, Crystal, for taking care of Helen for us for those first few years. And thank you for purchasing our first shirt. That's awesome. She's customer number one.
Yeah, she gave me cash, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this cash. Like, what? I need to set up our Square first. I don't know. How about for you, Janet? Who was a good friend in your early career years?
Ooh, so I didn't have people at work, but there were two friends that I met in college that we particularly, because like, I mean, I met a lot of people in college, and I was reflecting like, why were these two people, did they continue with me through my early career years? And once again, I couldn't pick one. So I have Drushti, which you ladies have met, and also my friend Kristen that I mentioned, we lived together in San Francisco. The common thing about these two women is that I feel like we shared similar drive and career ambition. And I think that was something that like why I really clicked with them. We were all like getting out of college and really looking to like fully focused on developing our careers. And with Drushti, we share a similar thing. Of course, it's once again, you know, she comes from like a South Asian American family background. Her parents are from India. And I think being the eldest daughter as well, we really clicked on having very similar values and similar understanding of, or like priorities in being selfless for your family, or like really prioritizing your family. And she was someone that like I really admire her for the way that she is a leader, because I think that she's a leader. She does it in a way where like in Western culture, I think that we have a very like almost like more business focused definition of a leader. Like we look so much based off of like, it's like, it's less human, right? Like they always think about if you're more like you get results and you know, you get things done. Versus I feel like she's someone who really embodies like maternal leadership. Like there's like a nice, I don't know, there's a humanness to her. And I've always really admired that about her. And she's been critical in my life because she, I think, has demonstrated how, like she's been a lot of how I've reflected how I want to lead. And also was someone that as a friend who forced me to kind of like talk about my feelings, especially during the important years in your like 20s and your 30s when you're dating, right? Like I said, I'm not a very emotive person. She was one of my very first friends who is very like emotionally expressive. Mm-hmm. I had not had that in my life before. And if not for her, I feel like I would still be even more emotionally backwards than I am now. And then the second person I mentioned was Kristen. I always describe Kristen to my friends as she is like a 6'5" white frat boy and a 5'2" Vietnamese little girl frame. That gives you an idea of who she is. She's just like so tough and so, like, sometimes abrasive to people, but when she is your friend and she loves you, she loves you, and she will give everything to you. Like, she, it's like, my home is your home. My money is your money. And I have a lot of respect for her because she came from an immigrant family where she paved the way for herself through scholarships and you know, like, everything from buying her own home by herself. And when her family, her dad kind of went through a really bad medical thing, and she was, like, navigating, really spearheading that system. So she's just someone that I feel like played a big role in my life as demonstrating those types of values in like, early career and early adulthood.
Hmm. Yeah, Kristen's she's a fireball for sure.
Yes. She's
a very strong woman. I remember meeting her in SF. I was like, yeah. But you guys are very opposites, but I think you guys work really well together.
Yeah. I think I'm noticing this trend because I talked about when I was young too, I usually two people, and usually they're very opposites. Like, because Drushti and Kristen, I feel like they're similar, but they have very opposite personalities. So I don't know.
Is that why you always say you're looking for someone on the opposite end of the battery? Because I feel like maybe that's what your friendship reflected with your romantic partners.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. I actually feel like a lot of my friends, we click, but we're not really similar, or like we have a lot of differences. I don't know. Yeah. But how about you, Mel?
So two groups of people come to mind. The first person actually is Taylor Chan from Wong Fu Productions, because I know Tay honestly has such a special place in my heart, because you don't talk every day, but whenever I see him, I'm just like, Taylor, and that voice, Taylor. moving to LA, I didn't really have any friends, and, you know, I was commuting from my aunt and uncle's house in Irvine all the way to, like, Pasadena for Wong Fu, and I mean, mentally, that could be kind of, you know, tough, and Taylor was just so nice to have at Wong Fu, because I feel like we were both experiencing this LA media Asian American representation community together. Like, when Phil and Wes invited us to the club where Helen was, I remember looking at Taylor going, oh my god, it's like our first LA event. And like, he like drove me to the mall to buy my first like romper so I could wear it to the club. Like, he was so supportive, and like experiencing these little things together was super sweet. And honestly, like, he was probably my first friend in LA that just has really been there for me. Like, the first 2 years living in LA was tough, you know, trying to navigate pursuing your passion. I'd cry so much to him in the car. And he's always been such a great listener. And we got to a point when I was working at Wong Fu and we're doing the movie. The commute was so much. Taylor was like, Mel, why don't you sleep over at my house a couple times? You can use my guest room. My parents don't mind. So even he opened his home to me. So I, like, feel very fortunate for that friendship. And I think just to have someone that you could, like, kind of be on this creative journey together is really cool, because from afar, I see Taylor, like grow so much within Wong Fu, and I'm just like, I knew you from the beginning. I saw you hustle. I saw you, like, put in the work and the time, and I just feel very proud of him. And so he also says the same thing with ABGM, just like, oh, man, it's just so crazy. And so I think Taylor is someone that I've always – will always cherish. And you know his personality. He's just so – he's so loyal, dependable too. So Taylor's someone I feel like was really there for me in the beginning of my career in terms of LA and creative, and will always be there for me. The other two people I think about is the twins, for the same exact reasons for Taylor in different ways, because when I started freelancing and touring, honestly, it was probably the most stressed I've been in my life, because I'm thrown into this country where I don't know the customs. I was 25, 24, and I don't know how to manage people as well. So it was like, very stressed out, dealing with, you know, you're dealing with celebrities and artists that sometimes, you know, egos can run high. And I remember I was crying so much in Thailand, actually. I was in Thailand stop, and I was crying because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle my job. And the twins would just listen to me cry and give me advice. And I think in some ways, they've been very there for me. And I think another reason why I'm so close with them is that because we both got to experience touring together for the first time, and we're the same age. So I think when you have same age, all this stuff, it just makes it easier for you to connect. But to be honest, right now, Justin's like, he feels like a breath of fresh air for me. So Justin, Jason, and Taylor are like the people I really think about in terms of Mike, who've been there for me in my career.
And we know them and we love them. And all of them have been on our podcasts at one point.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Look at you, Mel, incorporating your friends into work. No, not incorporating your friends into your work. It's giving them the platform to shine. That is what's happening here. Yes. Although this does lead me to the next question here that I'm curious about. So when it comes to friendships, there's a saying that guys and girls can never be just friends. And Mel, you mentioned your three closest friends in your early career life were all guys. I mean, one's gay, but, you know, all guys. So I'm curious, Mel, has there ever been a time when you questioned whether or not you were just friends?
With the guys you mentioned or just, like, any of my guy friends?
With these guys you mentioned.
No. Like, Justin doesn't swing my way. And Taylor. Taylor honestly feels like a brother to me, you know? So
there was never a moment where you and Taylor were like, we're in this together. Like, we have the same passions. Okay, Mel,
I know. Head. Sorry. Love you, Taylor, but never saw you romantically. I could say probably with confidence he didn't see me that way either. Sorry. not with these ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people would find that surprising, but that's I could see it too with you and Taylor. It's like a brother sister type relationship. How about with any other guy friends that you were close to? You have a lot of guy friends.
You have a lot. Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like Mel, of the three of us, like a lot of your close friends are guy friends.
Yeah, honestly, the saying like, you know, guys and girls can never just be friends, I don't think that's true. I do have a lot of close guy friends. You know, I do go on phone calls with them. I talk to them on FaceTime. It honestly feels like any other of my friendships. But I will admit that some of my guy friends I'm close with today did start off with like a crush. Or like, is this something, is this romantic or is it not? I don't know if Shanae names or anything, but I should just talk about it. But, you know, there's a couple of guys that come to mind that, you know, were really close. But in the beginning, when you're getting close, you question, like, wow, this is such a good foundation for a friendship. Huh. Is this romantic? And there's moments where, honestly, like, maybe a little cuddle came out or whatever. And you're just
a
like,
a little cuddle came out.
Explain to me how this happens.
I am thinking about one distinct experience from college. Sounds really weird to talk about, but I won't name names. I do have a close guy friend that we were really close in college, and like we would hang out, and there was a moment where we were talking very intimately about like family or something. We're both on my bed just talking, and there was a moment when his arm like went on my hip, and I was like, my mind, I was like, whoa, this does not feel right at all. So I think from that moment we just knew, like, oh, this is just like very platonic. Like I think sometimes you kind of test the grounds a little, and I was like, nah, this ain't it. So
okay, so that wasn't Taylor. Who is that? Who is that? Do we know?
Yeah, you know him. Should I just say it? We could take it out? Or should I just say it? It's Miles.
Okay.
So Miles and I, like, he's also someone that we would do. I do best friend dates. Like, we would go to get pho and then froyo. That was our hangout, like, routine. But it was nothing romantic afterwards. But the girl he dated really didn't like me because I didn't do anything to her. But anyways, yes, I had that. And, yeah, you know. There's a few others that are my guy friends that may have been like, this sounds really weird, that maybe I've been, either something happened through a drunken night, nothing like promiscuous, maybe like a kiss or a cuddle, whatever, but then afterwards you're like, oh no, that's just not it. Or it's someone that I maybe had a crush on and he didn't express interest back, and so I closed that door. But I will say I have other guy friends that has always been platonic, like my high school guy friends. Didn't like any of them, really. So that's my story. I think I share a little too much. I'm gonna pass this question over to Janet.
Yeah, Janet, has a cuddle ever come out?
I can't say that a cuddle has ever come out on my end, but no. But I would say Mel, what's interesting is that it seems like your answer is that you think it can be the case because you've experienced where there are some guys that there just like was no interest to begin with, right?
Yep.
I think that you can just be friends, but I think the question will always come up. Like, you will always have had to consider it, right? Either it will, if it hasn't already, it already did, and you guys decided, no, we're just better as friends, or it's one of those two things, right? It's possible that the conclusion is no, and then that you can continue the friendship, but you must always think of it, right?
Yeah, I agree. You always think of, you know, you think about it.
Yeah. I don't know. How about you, Helen? What do you think?
Okay, so we didn't talk about college as much, but in college, two of my best friends were guys, and we had a completely platonic relationship. It's weird, but we really did. Like, my friend Steve, he was my co-president for the Chinese Students Association, and I loved him like a brother. We literally, like you said, Mel, like, we would be in the same bed and be like, don't touch me. We'd be like, don't, like, you know. And I mean, he would compliment me when I looked good, when I dressed up, and I would do the same for him, because it's like, you know, you could objectively just be like, hey, you look good today. But there was never like a damn, uh-oh, like, you look too good, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was very platonic, and I completely believe that you can have guy friends who are just friends because of that experience. But I will say I've had close guy friends also in the past that were maybe trying to get close for other reasons, like you were saying, Mel. So I would say it's probably more rare for two people to just, like, have no even, like, thought about it. Because I think it's also kind of just human nature to wonder if, like, are connecting in this way. And,
exactly.
And you are looking for a partner. Like, is this the right person for you or is it not?
Right.
So I think it's pretty rare. But I would say for me, it's definitely possible to just be completely platonic with a guy friend.
Wait, so Helen, so all your guy friends, you're telling me that you didn't have a thought. You're like, huh. Maybe. Like, did you have a huh maybe from you?
Oh, no, for sure, for sure. I have, yes. And either I didn't act on it or I acted on it and nothing happened. But I'm saying, like, with my, like, college friends, like, that, like, with, like, Steve, I just remember we hung out all the time. Like, we were co-presidents and we just, like, planned and ideated and had the same passions and everything. But there was just, like, nothing there. And there was that one, like, bed moment, you know, where I'm just like, I'm going to lie down here. And he's like, are you tired? I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, cool. I was like, don't touch me. but I was able to say that because I know that it's an unspoken understanding between the two of us that we could make a joke like that too, because we knew that that wouldn't be like the case at all. So
that's true.
Yeah.
This is really random, but an observation I made about with you two. Let me just tell a quick story. I feel like, how do I say this? Maybe through the grapevine, you know, through our multiple times hanging out and just stories from, like, you know, just we. I feel like I met a lot of your different friends from both your friends from different lives. I feel like a lot of guys try to get at you and you both are like, they're like both, they're both your friends with you, but they're like, oh, maybe, you know, they're trying to cross that border, but you guys never reciprocate back. And this reminds me of a story because I remember one time a mutual friend of ours literally thought he went on a date with Janet, and then Janet's like, oh no, I just hung out with her as a friend. So part of me is like, yo, that's miscommunication somehow. Like, I just think it's really funny how that situation happened. And the funny thing is, I think this person also was the person that tried to cross that friendship line with Helen at first too.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, if only we could not have this filtered. I mean, there are some guys out there who are trying to get with every girl that comes across their path. So we have friends like that, and they probably have tried things with us, and we're just like, nope. I mean, this person tried things with you too, Mel. So
no, honestly, no. Actually, he didn't.
What are things you talking happen, about? Though. All of this to say that it is possible to be a guy and a girl and to be just platonically friends, or to be two people and to just be platonically friends. And sometimes it's not. So it's not a black and white situation. Yeah. Let's just say that.
I would say it's possible, but it's like always you're going to it's natural to think of it, right?
It's natural. Very natural. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode today where we talked about friendships. It was quite fun, especially towards the end. Everyone's probably very curious who this mutual friend is that we all have. Please don't make any guesses. But as you can see from our conversation, friendship can take many different forms, and each friend brings a different aspect to our lives at different times. So I feel like this was a really good episode to just reflect back on all the different friends that we've had throughout our lives and just how much of an impact that these people have made on us. And we don't often think back and really just give the time and I think respect that friend was in that period of your life. But for anyone out there who's listening, take that moment to just think back on your friendships and thank them because they really did shape the person that you are today.
Yeah, and then earlier in this episode, we kind of each shared like a different quality of a friend. We wanted to ask you, you know, what do you consider to be the most important quality of a good friend? And here is what some of you had to say. So Lily H. Lee said, empathy. Girl, I agree. Mag1019 said, not afraid to call you on your shit, which I also agree.
Mm. Honesty,
and,
yes.
Yes. And Bonnie S. Chen said, are they down to start a podcast together?
Ooh.
Which answer do you agree with the most? Vote in our show description on Spotify, and we'll be gifting the winner a free item of merch.
This is the first time we're doing something like this. So yes, yeah. Check out your Spotify app and there will be a little poll there. So go ahead and pick one and we will gift an item of our merch. Exciting stuff. Yeah, just trying to connect with y'all a little bit more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And thank you for everyone else who has submitted. Let us know if you enjoy this because maybe we'll do more of this.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support.
And we just released our first item of jewelry, which is the ABG necklace. So match me and Janet and get one for your bestie at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is at Asian Boss Girl.
If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree in our link in bio and click on shout outs. And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
We'll catch you all in the next episode.
Bye. Bye.